Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and services. Does the public reading of Scripture in your worship services sparkle with a bright shine? Or are these readings so dull that they have very little luster? Part of the process of creating effective, life-transforming sermons is for pastors to oversee the creation of carefully coordinated worship services. In such a service, every element fits together to relate to and enhance the sermon and the worship theme for that service. In today's podcast, we're once again talking about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. More than 30 years ago, David and Karen Maines recorded a series of very relevant Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts. These broadcasts are serving us well as a resource for our SermonCoach.com podcasts. Today, we want to continue to explore this theme in a broadcast entitled Wanted Readers. Pastors can certainly recruit members of their congregation to help in the renewal of the public reading of Scripture, can't they, David?
Oh, the role of the pastor is so important. In the church, the disdain of the pastor or the favor of the pastor, ministers have no idea how important they are as far as the people are concerned. I said to one minister the other day, your blessing on someone, it just lifts them up. Do that more often because people need that encouragement. Yes, the pastor is critical in the whole process. And if the pastor doesn't like what's being said, it's not going to happen because people will feel that dislike. You can't remain neutral in the things that are tried, especially different things that are tried. But the pastor's enthusiasm, saying, you know, we have a way to go yet, but you're doing a wonderful job. Even the pastor's comment after someone does something in the church, it's so important. So, yes, I'm glad you underscored that.
Very good. Well, let's listen to the broadcast, shall we?
Now, as we move into this 13th program, David and Karen issue a call, Wanted Scripture Readers. But Scripture Readers cannot be found just anywhere. Listen as David and Karen give some criteria for selecting those with the gift of reading Scripture.
If certain very fine people I know were to sing a solo in church, well, it would be painful for everyone involved. Their talents just don't lie in the area of music. And the same may well be true regarding skills related to the public reading of God's Word. David Maines welcoming you, good friend, to visit number 13 in a 14-part Chapel of the Air series, and we're calling it Down with the Dulls, which implies what, Karen?
Well, it implies that there has not been the right amount of attention given to the public reading of Scripture. We've been neglectful. We have not honored Scripture the way it deserves to be honored. And consequently, we are giving an unintended message that Scripture is not interesting. In fact, I am almost convinced that a lot of the reason so many people who are lay people have difficulty getting into Scripture privately is because Sunday after Sunday, we're giving them the message that it's not interesting.
Now, in this series, we have wanted to develop a better appreciation for the reading of God's Word on the part of all people. In fact, we have used as a scriptural base that verse from 1 Timothy 4:13 again and again, where Paul says to Timothy, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." However, we're not saying that everyone alike can contribute directly to the solution of this problem, are we?
No, I have a slight suspicion that I perhaps was that very fine person you started to talk about, who, if they sang
I can't get by with a thing, can I?
The Sunday morning solo would put the congregation into extreme pain.
Karen, the thought of you doing that, you're very talented in some areas, but the thought of you doing that is only surpassed by the thought of me doing it.
No, I don't think that this is something that just everyone can do. I think that there are people who have very special gifts. And unfortunately, David, we find opportunities for those people who have musical gifts to use them on Sunday morning. But for those people who have a very special giftedness in the area of public speaking or reading or even dramatic gifts, they're just cut off from using those abilities in our churches. And this is one of the ways by which we can invite them Sunday after Sunday to contribute to the whole worship atmosphere of our churches, but specifically as it relates to the public reading of Scripture.
And we're issuing really a call to those people. We're saying in the church, you can't just decide that because Deacon Smith doesn't have a job, we'll have him lead the choir, whether he knows how to read music or not. Well, the same is true in the area of the public reading of Scripture. You have to be able to use people who have skills in those areas. And so as this series comes to a close here, we've been issuing a challenge to gifted people to start working in this area, sometimes even on their own.
Regarding Deacon Smith, we were in a church several months ago where the scripture was read publicly, and the person who had been given the job to read scripture, I think, may have even had a reading disability. There was tremendous stumbling over the word, and I'm not saying that the reading of Scripture has to be always professional, but I think he was unable, and it detracted terribly from the verses. I couldn't tell you after he was done what he had read.
He probably wasn't real prepared, Karen. He may have gotten a last-minute assignment, but that's just one of those areas where we're saying there are people who would be delighted to be given an assignment ahead of time and work on it and do it very well. In a sentence, the last few days we've been saying the church stands in need of Christians who will consider a call to the ministry of the public reading of Scripture. How does one consider a call to that kind of thing?
Well, David, though I'm a person who brings great pain if I would use my non-musical abilities, I do believe I am a person who has a calling in this area. And part of the reason I know I have that calling is because I, when I listen to Scripture, hear it in the way that it could be done. I hear rhythm, I hear meter, the words themselves are beautiful to me. I sit there in the pew and create possibilities. And fortunately, in our lives, you were always the pastor in the churches that we attended, most of them. And I would come home and I would say to you, oh, David, that would be so beautiful if we did such and such and such. And you'd say, well, let's do it next time. Well, I think one of the things we do is open ourselves up before the Lord and say, use me. You know, I would really like to be used. And then very gently, after time of prayer, we go to the people who are in authority over us and suggest to them some ways by which we could contribute. Sometimes they're not open on that level, but if they can see it done maybe on another level with high schoolers or whatever, we can demonstrate to them the possibilities of that in a non-threatening fashion.
I believe, Karen, one of the areas where a lot of the public reading of Scripture could be enhanced would be, say, our Christian colleges, where there's a great amount of openness, where you have the younger generation, where you have the opportunity for more experimentation because of the number of chapel services and such. So throughout the Christian colleges, that's part of where I want this call to kind of permeate and say, I'm fishing for you people who are out there, and I'm doing this on behalf of the Lord.
Well, I think that's a tremendous possibility, because you think of the drama departments, you think of the speech departments that could input into those chapel services and use their young people who are developing abilities. I think that's an incredible idea.
We are aware that as with music, where you move into new areas, you have to be careful that the vehicle not overshadow what you are trying to say. So it is true in the public reading of Scripture as well. When it's all finished, the desire is not to have people say, oh, that was so well done, we applaud, but rather God was able to communicate through His Word to me as that was read. This doesn't mean, however, that we avoid aesthetic qualities. We want very much for it to be pleasing to people. Otherwise, if it's offensive to them or dull, then it has no value.
David, I think there are dangers that accompany any kind of public performance, whether it's the preaching, whether it's the choir singing, whether it's the soloist. And those of us who find ourselves on platforms have to continually prepare our heart so that we don't give opportunity to the enemy. And the same thing is right for the public reading of Scripture, you have to fit what you are doing to the personality of the place in which you are doing it. And that requires wisdom and hearing the Lord speak to you. But at the same time, it's a balance. And we have swung, most of us, to the far extreme of not doing anything at all.
Yeah, or otherwise trying something and because of criticism being easily discouraged. One thing we've tried to do in this series, Karen, and I've taken some risks in doing this, is to show by illustration the kind of things that can be done. Not that these are the way to do it, but they are possibilities and they are also stimulators as far as ideas are concerned. Here's a series that was done sometime back when I was pastoring, and I had done a series on the life of David. And then you, along with two other women, put together a lot of the little pieces of Scripture that kind of told the story of David's life. And in a sense, you could say this Scripture reading is a rehearsal of David's life. There are three women reading together in the back of the auditorium. And as the congregation, which is very familiar with the life of David because of the preaching series, hears it kind of unfold in microcosm, then later from the front of the auditorium, a man begins to read Psalm 27. Now, Psalm 27 is kind of an overview of David's life as well. But it's this history as a background condensed, and then the psalm itself with the history repeated underneath it. Maybe just as we listen, we can pick up some ideas.
Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000.
Little David play.
Hurled his spear, and David fled into the night.
And David hid himself in a field.
The arrow is still ahead of you.
Hurry. Don't wait.
Nob
and Gath and Keilah.
The caves of Horesh on Hachilah Hill. And Gedi,
and Carmel, and Ziglag.
My lord the king,
even the blind and the lame could conquer you. Even the blind and the lame could conquer you. Even the blind and the lame could conquer you.
I have sinned against the Lord.
Absalom has killed all your sons.
Absalom has killed all your sons, and not one is left alive. Quick, cross the Jordan tonight.
Oh, my son Absalom.
Oh, Absalom, my son.
Oh, my son Absalom.
The angel of death was by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite.
Long live King Adonijah!
David was king of the land of Israel for 40 years, 7 of them during his reign in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem.
Yea, though I walk,
the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom need I fear? The Lord is the fortress of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Now, for the sake of our chapel of the airtime, we will not complete this whole reading. And I think it's important to say at this point that these are non-professional voices. We have picked people from the congregation who are willing to work, who are willing to practice, who have a joy in participating in this kind of Scripture reading. But these are not professionals. And I think that you can tell by the quality of the piece. And there are many churches that could do this kind of reading even better than what's done here.
That's right, Karen. These were just congregational members who enjoyed doing this kind of thing and loved God's Word. And in some ways, I'm exposing our vulnerability as we share these tapes, but I'm believing that as we do so, people will accept them in the spirit of which they are used. Tomorrow, we want to get away from just the specific call to individuals and talk to the whole of the congregation about one last important topic in this series, Down with the Dulls. What is that?
Well, that is how to be a good listener to the public reading of the Scripture. We've hardly talked about this at all. And there are many things that the average layperson sitting in the pew listening to the reading of Scripture can do that will enhance his hearing process as well as his comprehension.
Once again, David, you and Karen gave us a delightful yet thought-provoking call to people to use their unique skills in the public reading of Scripture.
What we have done, Dean, to some people, not a whole lot of people, will seem elementary. To a lot of people, it will seem different and unusual and a challenge. How will we ever do that? We're kind of trying to hit a middle ground. You never really do it as much as you want to. But I feel very good about it, and it's a good reminder to me as well. This is an important area. I could maybe give more direction to it than I do even in the church where I'm a member.
Well, we're grateful that you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today, and you found our podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We've worked very hard to have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and services. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.